You know, when we come into those times of worship where you just feel like you don't want to move like that at the end, when we come into times of worship like that, it's not just something that you can do here in the corporate setting, something you can do at home. And in fact, if you begin to do it at home, you're going to notice a complete, huge change in your life, in your personal walk with the Lord. I can tell you because he did it with me, and he doesn't play favorites, even though I'm his favorite. Just kidding, you're all his favorite. Isn't that amazing how God makes us all feel like his favorite when we come to him? There's this old song, you probably don't know it, but it goes, how is it that we all come before your throne, but your eyes are on me alone? You know, like he has a way of just zeroing in on us and just showing us how much he loves us. And worship is just one of those beautiful things that sometimes I wish I could just put like suction cups on like my worship time and be like, here, take it, you know, because it's hard to explain, but it's just so intimate and beautiful. And time with the Lord is just so amazing. And that's the reason why, what will make you do the hard stuff is when you get into his presence and you have this love for that intimacy with him. Well, I was preparing for this message. The Lord spoke to my heart something that we all know, we've all heard. And I'm just going to read just a little thing that he said to me. He said, you can't live on yesterday's manna. He said, many in the body of Christ have learned a lot, and specifically in this camp, have known a lot, but it has become past tense as far as acting on what is known. There has been a false sense of security because of the knowledge that we possess, because we still think we are doing what we know, but aren't. For example, someone says, well, I pray in tongues, but really what it is they used to pray in tongues a lot. Not much anymore, yet because they once did it, it feels as though they're still doing it. He says that there are many areas like this. It's not in every area of your life, and it's not always praying in the Spirit, but he says there are many areas like this, and that we need to take account of our walk with him, because what we did yesterday will not carry us to the end. And that's not supposed to be a big heavy, because even I was actually sitting there, I think it was a couple Wednesdays ago, and the Lord just spoke that to my heart regarding here. And it was, the picture that he was giving me was this. So it's like, everyone knows what they should be doing. Everyone has the understanding. Pastor Dave used to call it mental ascent. You have this understanding of what you know you should be doing, but somewhere along the way, you actually stop doing it. You know, and again, not in every area. Don't you know that if there's any sort of chastisement, it's because the Father loves you? God, the Father only chastises the sons that he loves. So, and sons is obviously not a gender thing, right? In the original language, sons and daughters. He only chastises those that he loves. So we know as Christians that we need to go to God for our daily manna. We need to know that we need to go to him for our spiritual food. You know, and we know this whole story of how the manna began in Acts chapter 16 when the children of Israel were complaining. What they blow my mind, like, every time I think of what they did. You know, they were like, you know, schizophrenic or something, because one minute they'd be worshiping God, and the next minute they'd be complaining and saying, take us back to Egypt. And it's like, did you not just see the plagues? Did you not see the water open? Did you not see you walking across dry land? Did you not see all this stuff? They come across, they start worshiping, and 2 days later they're complaining. It's like, how? You know, the wall of water and sharks, and you're like, you know, God is big. You know, he kept showing himself strong to them. But anyways, they're complaining, and God again, he says, okay, I'll give you manna. And of course, we know that's just a feel, like dew on the ground that they'd go and they collect. And that his instructions were to go and get enough for each day. And then on the sixth day, they could get enough for 2 days. You guys all know the story, right? Type and shadow for us is our manna is Matthew 4:4. The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need to go to him. We need to feed on his word. The problem is, so many of us are busy knowing the word, but not feeding on it daily. We think we're doing it, but it's like it's past tense. And God is like, no, no, no. You got to start doing it again. In fact, let's do an exercise real quick right now. You can close your eyes if you want. You don't have to. But I want everyone to think just to this past Monday. As I was thinking about this at home, I was like, maybe people can't remember Monday. That's okay. Go back to the longest day that you can remember. Seriously, think about Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is this past week, 5-6 days ago. Now, I want you to think about what you did. I want you to think about when you got up and you had your coffee and you had your shower. And for some people, this is going to be, yeah, I spent time with the Lord. For some people, they had good intentions, but they didn't. They didn't spend time in prayer. They didn't spend time in the Word. But it's okay because you know the Lord. You know what to do. Like, that's kind of like what we tell ourselves. Now think about Tuesday. Again, picture yourself. What did you do when you got up? Picture your day, everything that you planned. Did you make time for the Lord? Now, in saying this, I always have to say the other end, which is God's not waiting to hit you with a hammer upside the head. You know, there are days when all of us can't spend the kind of time that we want with the Lord. But what I feel like God is saying tonight is he's kind of pulling us up a bit and saying, stop just thinking you're doing something. Stop just knowing the knowledge but without purposefully taking time, real intimate time away with the Lord. And not just praying the Spirit throughout the day, even though that's good and you should keep doing that. But he's like wanting to adjust our time so that our time now becomes around our relationship with him instead of just trying to fit him into everything because we know. We know all this stuff, but we're not actually doing it. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Okay, Isaiah 55, let's start at verse 1. Am I talking too fast? Because people tell me all the time I talk too fast. I'm already telling myself to slow down, but I know I'm fast. So I'm sorry if I talk too fast. Okay, Isaiah 55, let's start at verse 1. It says, ho, which just means listen up. Okay, wait and listen. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, of course, there's a lot in here. We're going to get into a little bit of it, but the biggest thing that I want to focus on right now is in verse 1, where it says, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So my question to you is, how can you buy anything without money? If I went to the store right now, K. Rogers, as Barry says. That's so funny. If I went there and I just picked out some bread and some lunch meat and tomatoes and, well, not tomatoes if Jason's coming over, but pop and whatever, apples, chips. Okay, and I go up to the counter and she brings it all up and she says, okay, $12, whatever it is. And then I say, well, I don't have any money. What's she going to say? Get out of here, right? She's going to say, that's it. You can't take this food home then. When do you ever buy things without money? There's always a price. There's always money associated when you buy. So what could the Lord be talking about when he says, come buy wine and money? Buy wine and milk without money and without price. As I was pondering this passage, the Lord just brought to my mind the parable of the 10 virgins over in Matthew 25. So let's go over there. He was just showing me some things I want to show you tonight. Hey, Pastor Jim, I'm with you. We did Bible drills when I was a kid. I'm way faster in this than I am on my phone. And I can beat people with their phone. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've been here 5 minutes. But no, I love this. I love the book. Okay, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Okay, now, so growing up in church, I've read this story many times. And when I was a kid, I read the book of Matthew more than any other book. It's because I always intended to read the whole New Testament. So I'd always start at Matthew, and, you know, when I was a little kid. But I'd read this story, and I'd be like, what's wrong with these people? Seriously, I would think that. Because what is one of the greatest things you're taught as a kid? You must share. So I'm like, why couldn't they share? What's the deal with this oil? Like, couldn't they have measured it out? Like, if everyone had just a little bit, they could have made it till midnight. Like, couldn't they have, why did they want them to go and, you know, get their own oil? Like, it always felt very selfish to me. It always felt like, this is going against everything we're ever taught, you know? You're supposed to share. Why aren't they sharing? How rude, you know? But obviously, I knew that I was not thinking right on that. I just thought, okay, well, leave it alone, and there you go. But when I was reading Isaiah 55, the Lord began to open up my understanding a bit on this. And here's what he said to me. He said, the reason why the five wise virgins didn't share is because what they had couldn't be bought with money. Okay, so starting to make sense. Go back to verse 1. Do you notice that he calls them 10 virgins? That means at some point they're all saved. Because if you guys have ever read the book of Proverbs, you know what he calls the lost people. The opposite of somebody who's chaste and a virgin. Okay? Over and over again, it talks about somebody, like the lost person or the flesh or whatever, as whores and harlots and all that sort of thing. So why would he wouldn't call them virgins if at some point they weren't saved? So they all started out saved. They all started out with the life. The difference between the five wise and the five unwise is that the five wise kept going back to the Lord to be filled. Okay, they were doing what Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 says. They were going to him for their milk and for their wine. Okay, they were going to him for what they needed for that spiritual food. Okay, the foolish didn't do that. If they had done that, they would have had oil in their lamps. They wouldn't have run out. So back to the question, how do you buy wine and milk without money? How do you buy anything without wine and money? The answer in the kingdom, at least for today, is you spend time with the Lord. Time is the currency. Okay, you have to spend time with the Lord. If you do not spend time with the Lord, then the things that you need spiritually are just not going to happen. And you can try and deceive yourself into thinking that somehow you're going to be fine. But if you do not spend time with the Lord, you will not have the money, because money is time, to buy the things that you need of the Spirit. Time is the currency. So that's why I believe the Lord was trying to kind of shake us up initially, which is like, really take account of our lives, each and every one of us. Lord, is there areas where I should be spending more time with you? In fact, do I need to actually steal time from something else? In fact, that's a lot of what happens in life, isn't it? You know, you're really tired and you have a really busy day ahead. Then you got to steal time from sleep. And you like to sleep? Too bad. Steal it anyway. Because what is more important to you? Okay? Now, you have to understand, this isn't legalism. I'm not trying to say get so strict with yourself that, like, if you miss some time with the Lord, you're beating yourself up. No. This is understanding the value of time with the Lord. Is he your Lord or not? What's amazing to me, I love these prayer nights because I love studying the revivals. And I know that, like Pastor Jim said, every revival starts with prayer, a lot of prayer. And if we want to see the things that we talk about, we actually have to invest time with the Lord and with prayer. And I remember years ago when Elaine and I were youth pastors up in Quebec, Canada, we had like about 40 kids in our youth group. And the Lord had spoken to me that we were going to spend about a month, like so 4 Wednesdays only, doing like a series on prayer and actually spend time praying. And I think it dropped by 75%, the attendance for that 1 month. But the thing is, it's not just about the kids. I actually have more grace on them because they're still young and learning. It's the same thing happens with grown-ups. And then I think, is prayer not just talking to your Lord? Are you not used to that? When you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. And it shouldn't be hard to pray. Whoa, it's heavy in here. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize because I'm not. I just feel the anointing of the Lord on that. You know, I think He's trying to pull us up a little bit here tonight. The reason why the five wise virgins could not share or sell their oil to the others is because the currency needed for the oil was time with God, and you can't sell time. Flip back over to Isaiah 55 real quick, and keep your finger at Matthew 25. Let's read verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And now, let's read the beginning part of verse 3, 2. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. So, we understand that He's saying it to us right here, that we have to come unto Him. So, we go to Him to buy the wine and buy the milk without money and without price. But in verse 2, there's a warning here. And the warning is to not spend your money on the things that don't basically feed you properly. So, again, it comes back to what are you spending your time on? The five unwise virgins were obviously spending their money, their time, on something that wasn't God. Because if they were, they would have had oil in their lamps. Back over to Matthew 25. Look quickly at verse 4. The wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. Jump down to verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Okay, so I was starting to think about the importance of lamps and what they do, and like what's the significance of trimming, so I researched it a bit. So this is what I found, and I'm going to read it to you. In the days when light came from burning oil lamps, a vessel at sea needed to have crewmen to constantly care for the lamps. This care involved trimming the wick. Now listen to why they had to trim the wick. Because the wick is what drew up oil from the storage reservoir so that the flame would be clean and bright. A poorly trimmed wick creates a flame that is dim and smoky. This was actually a position. They were called lamp trimmers on these ships. They also refilled the reservoirs. Okay, do you see how in verse 4 it says the wise took an extra vessel with them? So, right, they had another reservoir or a deeper reservoir or more than just what was initially in the lamp. Lamp trimmers also refilled the reservoirs, which held enough oil for several hours of burning. This was an actual position on board ships of old. The bigger the vessel, the more lamps, and therefore the more people hired for this position. Interestingly enough, this is just a side note fact for all you people who like facts. When electricians started when there started being electricity and it wasn't oil lamps anymore, they used to call their initial electricians, they still call them lamp trimmers for a long while because that was like the trade. They had to take care of all that, which is kind of funny. But anyways, these crewmen had to be skilled. This is what they had to know. How much oil was needed for each lamp? The shape of the wick. Do you know that there's like, sometimes they'd have to trim it like this, and sometimes they'd have to trim it like this, and trim it different ways? They had to know how the wick had to be trimmed for each specific lamp so that the lamp would burn clear and bright instead of dim and smoky. Isn't that amazing? Now, like, this is all symbolism. Are you catching this? Like, think about the wick trimming as trimming away the flesh so that you can burn bright and clear and dig deep from that oil reservoir from within you. Think of it like that. And if your wick is not trimmed and you don't take care of your oil reservoir, then you're just going to be dim and smoky. You're not going to really hit the mark, okay? They were also in charge of how often to trim the wick, and they were in charge of checking and servicing the lamps. So what's the take home for us? We are responsible for our lamps in every way. We're responsible for taking time with the Lord to make sure that we have extra oil, to make sure that our wicks, our flesh is dealt with, to make sure that we're burning clean and bright. It's our responsibility to bring that extra oil. If it weren't, then God would have just been like, yeah, okay, no problem. I got oil inside. Let's just go. But He said, no, I don't know you. Verse 11, I love this part. Okay, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But have you noticed that it doesn't say they came back with oil? It never tells us that they came back with oil. And I don't know how they would have gotten oil, because if they needed to spend time with the Lord for oil, where was the Lord at that time? He was in the marriage supper of the feast. Listen, there's a coming a time when the trumpet sounds. You know, there's an appointed time on this earth where you have time with the Lord. But when the trumpet sounds and he comes back, that's it. Your time's up. So that's why it matters what you do with your time. And I'm not saying that it's quick and easy to lose your salvation. But like what Pastor Jim was saying this morning, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Are you going to be a disciple? Are you going to be one that digs deep into the Lord and that makes sure that you are spending time with him? You know, that spiritual currency that you need to be filled with the things of the Spirit so that you can be everything that he's called you to be. Because I'm telling you right now, if we don't do that, you know, maybe we'll make it into heaven smelling like smoke. But I think that's a really scary place to live. And why would anyone want to live there? The only thing I can imagine why people do want to live in that place is because they actually don't understand the full value of Jesus. Maybe you haven't had enough seeking time, where you've had a heart revelation of how precious he is. You know, one of the reasons I love worship and why I really encourage people all the time to worship is because every time that I take time with the Lord, every time, not sometimes, not once in a while, every single time when I'm at home, whether I'm playing the piano or just sitting, whatever, and again, I'm not special, it's available to each and every one of us. Every single time God comes. Every time. Like without fail. So in that moment, I'm so overwhelmed by his goodness that I cry and I'm like, Lord, I don't mean to cry all the time, you know, but it's like I love him. And he loves me, and like that overwhelming pleasure and intimacy is so amazing. And all I can think of is, if you've experienced that, how would you want to live on the edge of just barely making it and never ever spending time with him? How would you want that? And so I think what maybe happens is we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay when we're really not. Or maybe we've not had that experience. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that you have to feel God. That's not even what I'm saying. Sometimes emotions aren't even involved, but I know there's a stillness that happens and I just get quiet and I just know he's with me. I know he's there with me. And he's, you know, he wants that with each and every one of us. It matters what we do with our time. Turn over to Ephesians 5. We're going to start at verse 1. We're not going to read all of it. We'll read some of it. Ephesians 5, 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, which just means fitting or becoming, but rather giving of thanks to God. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now jump down to verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Like, think about Matthew 25 now. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Are you a wise virgin? Are you spending time with the Lord? Why? How? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is God's desire and will that we take time with him, that we understand that how we buy the things of the Spirit is time. Okay? It's the currency is not money. The currency is time, and our time is precious. It can only be used once. And that's one of the things people always talk about. Time, once it's over, it's over. And so if you're one that hasn't been spending time with the Lord, that's not a problem, because from today, you can start. You can start taking time and saying, you know what, God, this week, and don't do like, I'm going to spend 5 hours with you, Lord, tomorrow, because that's not going to happen. If you're not used to it, it's not going to happen. Set yourself small goals, but start. Be like, you know what, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to spend 15 minutes with you where I'm not rushing around, where my mind isn't racing. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit and I'm going to read a chapter and I'm just going to thank you for my day and I'm going to worship you. And then as that builds, increase and increase and increase, and before you know it, Time with the Lord is going to be a joy to you instead of a chore. And not just you. You know, when preachers preach, sounds all the time like they're like hitting you with a hammer. That's not what it, they know it's for them too. Trust me. Trust me, we know it's for us. Okay? Yeah. Jesus said in verse 12 in Matthew 25, we don't need to go back there, but he said to the unwise virgins, away from you, away from me, I don't know you. Knowing Jesus implies an intimacy. It is his desire to be intimate with us. But many Christians want Jesus without intimacy. This not only breaks the Lord's heart, but it is also a scary place to live. Jesus only knows those who have his light in them. And since these virgins had no oil left in their lamps, then their light, either if it hadn't gone out, it was on its way. I don't know why you want to live there. If we spend our money / our time on that which is of the world, it will only be a matter of time before we run out of oil and our light goes out. But a lot of what happens, I think, when people start spending time with the Lord and they start enjoying the intimacy, with intimacy also comes all this garbage that starts coming up that God begins to purge. And then people are like, oh my goodness, I don't like this. And they walk away. But like I said at the beginning, he's your father and he only chastises those of us who he loves. So our job is to know, okay, this is going to come up. I might be grumpy and irritable for a little while, but I'm going to do it anyway. Go into it knowing. Go into time with the Lord knowing that your flesh is going to scream. And then go into it knowing and making the decision that my spirit's going to win. And I'm going to press in and keep going with the Lord. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to keep spending time with Jesus. You know, when you start spending time with the Lord and suddenly you feel sad and depressed all the time, and you feel like all hell is breaking loose, that is just your flesh. Seriously. And if you know that, and if you know that that's not the true you, that the true you is the one that's born again and made in the image of Jesus Christ, you will push into him in a different way knowing that. And if our families would give grace too, while we're dealing with some of our flesh, because sometimes you need that. Kids expect too much of parents, and sometimes parents expect too much of kids. Remember that we're all growing in the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13, don't go there, we're just about done, says that when we seek him, we will find him if we seek him with all of our hearts. And it's such a good promise. One time, I think I told the youth this one time, because like maybe about a year ago, I was reading that and I had a vision of like playing hide and seek with a toddler. You don't really hide, right? So I saw like the father and he was like standing in the doorway, fully visible. He's like, come and find me. God is not hiding to not be found. He just wants us to take the first step toward him. I'm not calling all y'all babies. What I'm saying is that he's not hiding so that he does, because he doesn't want to be with you. He's saying, come and find me, but he's hiding in plain view. So remember that time with God is the spiritual currency that you need to build yourself up. That yesterday's manna isn't enough. Yesterday's intimacy isn't enough. That every day, if you want to go deep into the Lord, you can. But you need to decide to pay the price of time so that you'll be full of the oil that you need, the milk that you need, the wine that you need, right? Because your time is the currency. So remember that. Remember that if you do not give your time to the Lord, there's going to be a lot of things where there's a lot of people who've been Christians for a long time, and they seem, and they're like, I just can't get through this, or I've been stuck at the same position. Just check your time. Because if time is the currency and you give it to the Lord, he's going to fill you with all those things. Amen? So we're going to go into a time of prayer right now. And we know that Pastor Jim gave us a list. Prayer! Yeah, right? So of things to pray for healing and salvations and for things that are going on in this country, my goodness, and the world, and just, you know, this church and fire and revival and all the things that are coming on your heart, and pray according to the word of God. And then we'll see you back here in a half an hour. Why don't we all stand to our feet and just worship the Lord for a minute. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I bless your name. I worship you, Jesus. I love you, I love you. We worship you, Lord, we worship. Oh, we worship you, Lord, we worship. Oh, we
you for who you are. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, your promises are yes and amen. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you've heard our hearts tonight and you've heard our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, God. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and bless you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are healing this land, Lord, and that you are dealing with all the things that have been going on, Lord. You know what they are. We don't even need to mention it. We just speak healing now, healing to relationships, healing to the politics, healing to the land, healing to each and every person that lives in this country. I thank you, Lord, that you are beginning to open up eyes to see you, Lord, because it's only through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, that anything gets fixed and healed. So we thank you, Lord, for a revival coming. We thank you for men and women's hearts turning to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. Lord, I just see it. I thank you that it's coming. And Father, that we are getting ready because, Lord, we want to be able to be just ambassadors for you, Lord, to help this. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for protection for President Trump, Lord. We thank you, Lord, not just for him, but also for his family, Lord. We speak healing life over them now, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that. And I say right now, coronavirus, you are dead. I speak healing life now. I say whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, you know the end result. So we just speak healing now. And I thank you, Lord, that everyone who's been affected from this virus, Lord, will quickly get healed, will quickly and speedily recover. And we just give you all the praise and the glory for it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's our heart's desire that you would come in your glory, but also just and everything that you are. Lord, change us. Cause us to be hungry for you. That even as people just enter into this place or go about their days, Father, you are so strong on us, Lord, that we say, we can't do anything but worship you. We can't do anything but praise. We can't do anything but repent. We can't do anything but bow down because you are God and you alone. And we just thank you so much for who you are. So, Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. It's never wasted time when we pray and seek your face. And I thank you even for fire coming into the hearts of the young people of this church, Lord, that they would be on fire and passionate about you. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. We give you all the praise and the glory. Amen.